High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We, of course, have been following the story very, very closely around what is going on with corruption. And Rudy Heinecke, who is the State Capture Project Head at OUTA, at the Organization for Undoing Tax Abuse, will hopefully assist us this morning in unpacking the SIU's report on government procurement of COVID-19. Rudy, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard, and thank you for hosting me.
So it's obviously a very, very significant finding, this. But can you break it down? What does the report actually say?
Howard, yes, it is, you know, it paints a grim picture of what happened during the past 2 years with COVID procurement. And I think to make matters even worse, the report tells us that there was the total COVID spent was 152 billion rand, and the SIU were only able to investigate contracts to the value of 14 billion rand, and that's less than 10%, just under 10%. And you know, seeing that around about 60% of these contracts showed irregularities, we can just imagine, you know, the other 90% that has not been investigated, what will the results be there? So it is a very grim picture, and we need to unpack this, and to government needs to get on board. You know, it is the State of the Nation address in a few weeks' time, after that the budget speech. So, and if government is really serious about fighting corruption, then the president must make certain announcements so that they can capacitate the National Prosecuting Authority and all the other law enforcement agencies who must support them in investigations and prosecutions like these.
Is the government serious about fighting corruption?
Well, if one look at Advocate Batoi the last 2 years complaining about budget restraints, not enough money, not enough capacity, personnel, etc., it's been going on for 2 years. We've seen there was a state capture a commission for 4 years, and we knew that there were cases going to go to the NPA. But government did not come to the party, and they did not give the NPA a bigger budget. So we will see now if they are serious. And there's no more excuses. I mean, we must start keeping the NPA, all the other law enforcement agencies accountable, and say, listen, but you've had this matters, state capture matters for that matter, for 4 years on your table already. All the information was out there. Why haven't you started to investigate? So, yes, if there's criticism, I think it is fair, but we will see if government now put their money where their mouths are.
The other interesting thing is, and you referred to it, is there's been tremendous criticism of the NPA. Is that fair criticism, given the fact that they haven't had the budget necessarily and they had to recover from being totally captured?
Yes, I think it is difficult. It's a difficult situation for them. But, you know, they are constitutionally mandated to do the prosecutions in this country. There's no way to escape from that mandate and from your duties towards the public of the country. So these problems we knew about for years now, and nothing has been done to rectify it. So criticism fair, I think so, yes.
Right, right. In terms of this report, does it have enough information to hand it to the NPA to say, now run with it?
Well, the nice thing about this report is that the groundwork and the investigations has been done.
Right.
There is 386 matters that's been referred to the National Prosecuting Authority, and it is not like, you know, a cold complaint laid at the police station that must be investigated from scratch. So there is a report, and the SIU can be seen as the forensic investigators of the NPA, of the government. So surely they should have a head start on this and, you know, use the information in those reports. We see in this report, you know, just actually a summary of what happened, a short summary on a lot of these cases. But I think it is also time for South Africans, the corporate world, National Treasury, South African Revenue Services, et cetera, and you have to stand up and put up their hands and say, listen, we want to and we must, you know, join this fight against corruption.
Look, we have seen that. We saw that with the banks, with being the first ones to take a stance against banking for the Guptas. So we have seen in South Africa, which is quite unique, corporate South Africa pushing up towards government and demanding accountability.
Yes, and we must be very careful to not, you know, step into the trap of lip service. We've seen, and I've seen in the state capture investigations, for example, you know, there's good legislation. And, right. and not only, you know, related to the banks, but the PFMA, et cetera, et cetera. There are good legislation in this country. But there's ways to maneuver around it. And, for example, the banks, you know, there's a reporting duty on them for suspicious transactions to report it to the FIC. Now, the threshold is 5 million rand. In money laundering schemes that we've looked at, you know, the perpetrators will transfer money just under that threshold. And surely the bank should, you know, step in. Then there's a 4.9 million transfer twice a day, but just to keep under the threshold. And the banks, you know, they sit back and say, listen, I must report something from 5 million upwards. But a blind man with a stick can feel that something is wrong there. And that's why I say, you know, with the SIU report, for example, how does a bank just overlook a brand new company that's just been registered and after 2-3 weeks in business start to bank and deposit millions of rands in the new accounts? Surely, you know, that's not the way business works in this country. If it's a steady business, if it's a legit business, you do not get that millions of rand into your bank account after a week or two in business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just a few examples. From the National Treasury side, for example, this report refers to some blacklisting.
Right.
You know, these companies and individuals that were part and parcel of the COVID procurement and who were found to be on the wrong side of the fence, they should be put on that blacklist. That blacklist should be updated. I've looked at the list, and I can assure you I don't think that it is very updated. But the names, not only the companies, but the individuals itself, should be on that list. They should be taken out of the mainstream business with government until the investigation into each and every one is done and dusted. And as South Africans, we should not do business with these guys, you know, not the government and not ordinary South Africans, because that is the only way we can get these people out of mainstream business.
Are we less tolerant because of the COVID crisis? In other words, are South Africans viewing corruption around COVID funds differently to state capture?
Well, I think, you know, it is actually, it ticks off the one and a half a dozen of the other. but if you look at the amounts, and like I said, just in 10% of the contracts that were investigated, and the amounts that was of the contract amounts that were referred to the special tribunal, for example, and that were recovered, and so forth, one tends to think for yourself, how is it possible that we as South Africans, you know, started or became, you know, so criminal in our minds and in our business activities that we steal from each other, we steal from our family members, we steal from our business partners, we steal from government, we steal from the fiscus, and that is our tax money. So we're stealing from ourselves. Where did we go wrong? How did this happen? And surely we must, you know, all of us must take a stand and say no more. We cannot take this any further.
And I think what you're saying is so right, that it absolutely becomes every company, every individual's responsibility to be completely intolerant of any form of corruption. It's just as simple as that. And that's the message.
Absolutely. And we need to get transparent. You know, government and SOEs and government departments should be transparent in the procurement processes. Why don't they publish who's the guys tendering for a specific contract? Why do they wait for a contract to get, into a state of emergency before they award it, so that they can award it, you know, on deviation. So there's people that must be held accountable who is not following the rules and the regulations, for example, in the PFMA. Yes, and it is our duty as South Africans, each and every one of us, if you are, you know, lured into business practices like this, step away and report it.
Absolutely right. It is 8:26. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. That was Rudy Heinecker, State Capture Project Head at Organization for Undoing Tax Abuse, unpacking the SIU report on the government procurement of COVID-19.